Simplius Coffee Shop, everyone. Aren't you so excited for this week again? This is part two in actually a four-part series that we are going to be doing on parenting, because as we all know, that you never can learn enough about being a parent. There's always more that you can learn. If you did miss last week, you really, really, really need to go back. I know I say that every week, but it's true, especially on this one. There's some really, really great information that we talked about last week that you really should go back, share it with all your other mother friends. And, well, parents in general, because there's a lot of dads out there that probably need this information just as much as all of us moms do. So please go back and watch that. But our guest is back again today. She attended Drury University and received a degree in elementary education, a lifetime teaching certificate, and a minor in communications with a writing emphasis. She has been in the educational field for over 30 years. She's helped to found two different schools that are very successful now. She's passionate about helping parents and teaching parents to raise God-fearing children and be productive citizens who will change the world for the kingdom of God. Please help me welcome Deanne Daniels. Thank you again for being here.
Oh, it is my pleasure.
Information is so timely and so needed. And we didn't get to one of, I think, the more important things that we've been wanting to talk about and get to. And let me read a scripture here. So when you think about talking to your children, what do you think about? How do we speak to our children? What do we say to our children? Because I know even I've made this mistake of not probably talking to them the way that I should. But what does the Bible say about it? Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." The power of the tongue, and we all know how powerful our words are, but I think sometimes we forget when we're talking to our kids. And then Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear."
It's so important. Our words are huge. Yes. Power of life and death. Mm-hmm. What are we speaking to our children? What are we speaking over our children?
Yes.
What are we allowing other people to speak about
Absolutely.
Our children? All of that is huge. We need to guard every word that comes out of our mouth when we are raising our children.
Absolutely.
I feel like sometimes we give the best of us to the world. And then we come home, and if we had a bad day and we're grumpy, that we just, we let the grumpy come out at home.
Yep. Yeah.
And that should not be.
I agree.
We are raising these tiny disciples into God-fearing people. And if we need to use the drive home, if we need to sit in the car, if we need to take a deep breath, whatever we need to do, if your day hasn't gone great, stop. Leave that at the door. And come in and be the parent that your kids need you to be.
Absolutely.
And even just in general conversation, I think if we don't do anything else, maybe somebody can really grab a hold of this and it'll change the way that they raise their kids. And that is, how are we speaking to and about them in front of them and even to your spouse? Because they hear everything.
They do.
They do. They hear everything.
Whether you think that they hear it or not,
they absolutely do. But even things when, you know, in jest, a lot of times parents make a mistake of saying, "Oh, he's so ornery," or, "Oh, he's so stubborn." Well, I don't know what I'm going to do with him. Think about that. Think about that. You just spoke that your child is ornery, he's a mess, he's stubborn. Well, if you have a stubborn child, you probably have a leader. You're probably raising a godly man or woman to be a leader. How do you do that? What do you do with that? Calling him stubborn, calling him ornery, is that going to help? Or are you going to speak those things into being? Because you are speaking life or death. What is that? And I know some people may think, well, that's a little trite or a little picky. What does the Bible say? The scripture that you read, life and death. Everything produces something. What are we producing? And I think it's important when we talk about not only our words, but how do we speak to our children?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do we speak to our children with respect and honor?
Yeah.
Or do we just flippantly say, get in here because I said so? I'm sorry, would you talk to your boss like that?
Right.
Would you talk to a coworker like that? Mm-hmm. I'm reminded of when our kids were little, especially our daughters, we would have, no offense to my son, it happened then too. He was the same way, but my story is about my daughters. But people used to always say when they were tiny, they are so mannerly, they are so polite. How did you teach your kids to be that way? And I had to stop and think, what did I do? Because, I mean, we taught them to say please and thank you, mm-hmm. but other than that, and I thought, you know, we didn't teach them. We trained them. Mm-hmm. Training is different than teaching. Yes.
It is.
Teaching is telling. Training is doing.
Yes.
And we trained our children to have manners and be polite and be courteous and kind. How did we do that? We treated them that way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Please come here. Thank you for doing that. Will you please? I appreciate that. You did that well. The way that we spoke to our kids was already downloaded into them, and I hadn't even realized it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like I said last week, I got convicted going through all of these notes that you had given to us, and I'm like, oh, I need to do a little better on that. Like we were just saying, you get home, you're cranky, and my kids will tell you, I do apologize to them if I feel like I've been cranky. And a lot of other parents don't feel, well, I'm the adult. I don't have to apologize to them. It's like, no. If I know that I am in the wrong, I have no shame in telling my kids sorry. Two of them are here today, and they will tell you, Mom has said I'm sorry for being cranky today and that she's been having a hard time or whatever. But that's also just as important, I think, because it goes back to the training thing. I'm training them that it's okay to be wrong, but it's also better to ask for forgiveness for
that. That is a huge point. And I do know a lot of parents that are, they think that somehow they're being subservient to their children if they apologize to them. Mm-hmm. Complete opposite. It is a training moment that everybody makes mistakes.
Yes.
And I respect you and I love you enough to fix it. Mm-hmm. It's okay to make a mistake. It's just not okay not to fix it.
Right.
And that's what you're teaching and training them in
Absolutely.
Those moments. It's huge. And it's a bonding time.
Mm-hmm.
It makes them just so much closer to you. So it's okay to make a mistake, but it's not okay not to fix it.
Absolutely.
I think a lot of parents miss the fact that as you are influencing your children through their childhood, they are in psych statistics. First of all, for every negative thing they hear, it takes 7 positive things to bring them back to where they were before the negative thing. And so during the formative years, which are the years where a child's mental constructs of all these different religion and people and interpersonal relationships and all of that, the way that they view all these things is being built between the ages of about 0 and 6 to 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And on this earth, we are, whether we realize it or not, kind of a representation for the way they're going to view God.
Yes.
And so if they're dealing with a parent who's very harsh and very critical and who you can never please or whatever, it's very easy for them to take that focus and think that God's the same way. Mm-hmm. And so they don't develop a good idea of who God is and how much God loves them because they're so used to being overly criticized or overly picked on or whatever as a child. And one thing I think people don't realize is we put so much focus on shielding our kids, and we should shield our kids, but we put so much focus on shielding our kids from the harsh and brutal truths of life that we think that we can't just tell them we had a bad day. And so then we bottle it up until we snap, which is worse than just coming in the door and saying, I had a tough day.
Mm-hmm.
And then at least then they'll know if Mom seems a little off, because she had a bad day, you know, not because she's mad at me and because I've done something wrong. And it's easier for them not to internalize if they understand that something on the outside world happened today that's just got you a little bit off.
What a great teachable moment, because do you think your kids are never going to have a bad day?
Right.
Teach them what to do when they have a bad day.
Right.
How do we handle that? What is the right way to do that? That's great. That's really good.
Yeah. I thought one of the things that you had said too on your notes is what you do speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you say.
It's so true.
That is right? Good. It's a clapping moment. I'm sorry.
It is.
But it's true. It's huge. You know, the old adage, do what I say, not what I do. Mm-hmm. That doesn't work.
That
doesn't work at all.
It's never worked.
Never. And it is so huge that you live what you say. They need to see the gospel in action. And how is that? It's how I speak, what I say. Are my words in line with what the Bible says my words should be? And am I treating you how the Lord has taught me to treat you, as this precious gift from Him?
Right.
Back to our last show, the blessing mm-hmm. of the child, that you are a blessing, and it is my job to train and teach and discipline. But at the same time, all of that is encompassed in mm-hmm. how I speak to you and what I speak about you. Mm-hmm. It's so important. You know, another thing that comes to mind is that we should never, ever, never, ever make idle threats to our children. The Lord doesn't threaten us, first of all, so we should not threaten our children. But what happens is we are teaching our children and training them not to trust us.
Mm.
Think about it. That's what
That's
an idle
true.
Threat does.
That's
if
very
you do
true.
This, you're not going to get to go to the party. Mm-hmm. Well, they did this, and then you think, well, you know, Johnny's his best friend, sure. and Johnny's going to be disappointed if my son doesn't go. Okay, but don't you ever do that again.
Right.
Well, what you did was make an idle threat. You did not keep your word.
Right.
Now, what is God? He is not a man that he can
right.
lie.
Exactly.
And it's exactly like Allie said, we are training our children to obey us because we want them to obey God.
Right.
That's and
right.
And what we're training them to do is to know, I can't count on Mom. She's not a person of her word. Now, they may not say that and see that in the moment. They may just be saying, yippee, I get to go to the party. You know, they may just be excited about it. But over time, what you're doing is training them by giving idle threats. You're training them not to trust you. And if they don't trust you, why would they trust God? Because we are His representation. Our child's authority here on earth are his parents.
Mm-hmm.
And we are literally training them to obey us and to listen to us because we want them to obey and to listen to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So these little things are huge.
Absolutely.
They're huge. And one thing I just kept thinking about this morning, it just keeps coming to me, is we get one shot at this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was so just imparted into my heart when I had children, that we have one shot. And then they're out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. I need to get this right. And here's the thing. That can bring pressure, mm-hmm. but that's not. If you go to the Word of God and do your study and do your due diligence, if you're seeking God, then you can do it His way and get His results.
Right.
So it shouldn't be a pressure thing, but it should be an important thing.
Absolutely. Every person out there, again, like I've already said, can continue to learn how to do it
Absolutely.
Better. Because like you're saying, you have one chance at this, but it doesn't mean that it's unredeemable.
Absolutely. And that is so good. I'm so glad you brought that up. Because what if our kids are 16, 17, and we're just now hearing this? And
right.
we're just now realizing
mm-hmm.
God's mercy and grace mm-hmm. is so wonderful. He is so good. Because there may be a time, whether it's in disciplining your child or just in something that's happened, you may have to stop and have a reset and say,
yeah.
okay, we're going to have family meeting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? We've been doing it this way. But now we realize, according to the Word of God, we should have been doing it this way. Please forgive me. We just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But from this point on, mm-hmm. we are going to do it God's way.
Yeah.
It's never too late. It is never too late. His mercy is new every morning.
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but I use every drop of it
yeah.
every day.
That's awesome. Well, and the thing you're talking about, it doesn't matter who you are or how in tune with God's word you've been, or
yes.
if you're just now starting to figure this out and your kids are maybe even already out of the house,
right.
every single parent is going to look back and have regrets about things they did a certain way. I know I do. I look back and see different ways. I wish,
yeah.
you know, I wish I could go back and change things that I did a certain way,
right.
you know? And so on one hand, yes, you only get one shot at this and you've got to try the best you can to do it right from the start. But for people who are now discovering things they wish they would have done differently, they're not alone in that.
That's right.
Even if they had been doing everything right all the way through their children's childhood, they would still look back now and see something they'd like to do differently, because that's just living and growing every day as human beings and learning. We're all doing
about
that
it as you go.
Absolutely.
So what you were when the kids were little bitty, if you had it to do it over again, you probably would do things different.
Yeah.
But you've lived a long time from the time your kids are little to the time that you're a grandma, you know.
Yes.
So that's always going to be true. But I just think it's so important to know that His mercy, it covers all. His mercy and His grace, no matter what you've done, no matter where it's at. And here's the thing, even if you start from the time they are tiny, like you said, Allie, there are times when I just need the mercy of God. And I think we need to take perfection out of this conversation and make sure that people understand you're not perfect parents, and there's no such thing as a perfect child. There is one that was perfect, and He paid the price for all.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's not our goal. What does that mean to have a perfect child or to be a perfect parent? You know, I don't even know what that means. But our goal is to do it God's way.
Right.
That's it. What does the word say? It says, watch my tongue. Okay, I'm going to watch my tongue. When I don't, the word says I have forgiveness.
For sure. And it does go back, because I know a lot of the stuff we're talking about is mistakes that even well-meaning parents have made. I have made
them.
And again, when I realize that, I can go to my kids and say, hey, I'm sorry I did this the wrong way. It's never too late to continue to learn and to grow yourself and get yourself in God's word. And we pound that a lot on this show, that you have to spend your time with God and hear from Him so that you know how to be that person that your husband needs or your wife needs or that your children need. And this isn't just for parents. This can be for grandparents.
Oh, absolutely.
This can be for if you don't even have children yet, to get you ready for said children or just the children in general in your life. You can impact the life of a child. And we've said that multiple times on this too, whether it's your own, a niece, a nephew, a whatever. You can use these to speak life over the children in your life.
Absolutely.
I want to say something just really quickly.
Sure.
Now, I say this with caution, but years ago, whenever I was doing a statewide directorship for a girls' club, we used to know as missionettes, I used to want to make an impact on these girls, and I used to want to leave a legacy for someone to cling to and to become something wonderful. And what I have learned over my life is that when I think about what legacy would I want to leave, I look at my kids and my grandkids.
Yeah.
And I'm trying really hard right now to pour myself into my grand ones.
Yes.
I wish I had more time, but that's where my heart is.
Oh, absolutely.
And I feel like I have this window of time that they don't have, because I'm the grandma, and I can approach things differently than the moms. I am blessed to know that some of my grandkids call me their best friend. And I just, I'm sorry, I had to say it.
No, that's really good, because I think grandparenting, I know our show is about parenting, but grandparenting folds right into that, because you can be the friend, but the parents are the parents.
Yes, and we all know that.
Yes, and they're not friends. Yeah, but you have, as a grandparent, and I as a grandparent, I know. Okay, we won't talk about that. What, do you want to see pictures?
Yeah. I know.
They're adorable. So, but as grandparents, we can just pour the word of God into them. Mm-hmm. We can pour the love into them and just give them an extra layer of security in the family, that I am complete in my family, and I do care about what my grandparents think, because what we think is what God thinks, right? We want them to grow up godly.
Exactly.
We do have to take a really quick break, but isn't this just wonderful information? Yeah. We'll be right back on the other side of this break.
Have erroneous Bible translations hijacked the women's empowerment movement started by Jesus Christ? Skywatch TV is proud to present The Handmaiden's Conspiracy Collection. When you order Reverend Donna Howell's groundbreaking book, The Handmaiden's Conspiracy, and Allie Henson and Reverend Donna Howell's book, Dark Covenant, from the Skywatch TV store, you'll also receive the Dark Covenant Companion DVD. Packed with mind-blowing information on the Western Church undergoing a dark transformation into a cult. In the amazing book, The Handmaiden's Conspiracy. Reverend Donna Howell uncovers the cultural and historic backdrop behind Paul's words in the New Testament that correct the record on some of the most misinterpreted scriptures in modern history in relation to women, their leadership role in the church, and helps you understand properly what Paul was responding to when the epistles were written. In The Handmaiden's Conspiracy, you will follow the cultural and historic backdrop behind Paul's words in 1 Corinthians and 1 Timothy, the trouble verses in relation to the issue of women's leadership in the church. Discover what the original Greek nouns and adjectives meant in Paul's greeting orders, and meet the unsung heroines that Paul addressed as his co-workers in ministry, such as Phoebe, Priscilla, Junia, and several others. Reflect upon the women Jesus knew, both from Scripture as well as in person, and the groundbreaking permanent changes he made regarding their rights, their value, and their role in delivering his message to the world. Also included in this special offer, Allie Henson and Reverend Donna Howell's shocking written expose, Dark Covenant, which details how the masses are being groomed to embrace the unthinkable, while leaders of organized religion make a deal with the devil. In this jaw-dropping book, you will learn how the church is being groomed to embrace the unthinkable in preparation for the enforcement of the mark of the beast, how the true body of Christ is being slowly positioned to be considered a public enemy, with the Bible labeled as hate speech and possibly soon prohibited, how much of Western Christianity has actually become a cult, and what the true body of Christ can do to survive the modern assault on Christianity. But that's not all. In this must-have collection, you'll also receive the Dark Covenant Companion DVD. Join Reverend Donna Howell, Allie Henson, and the Skywatch TV investigative team for this original four-part series on DVD. This eye-opening expose is an essential teaching tool that is already sending shockwaves through the Western religious establishment and is certain to help ready the true remnant of God with the tools needed to navigate the coming days of persecution. Sold separately, these items hold a retail value of over $70. Yours now for your donation of only $35 plus shipping and handling. Find out what Jesus truly thought of women's roles in the church and become equipped with knowledge and power to push back the powers of deception. This collection is available only while supplies last, so don't delay. The Handmaiden's Conspiracy Collection, available now at SkywatchTVStore.com. Order now or call 1-844-750-4985.
Continue our discussion on parenting with a purpose. So there are different stages to parenting as well. Can you kind of explain what those stages are and how you have to navigate through all of those?
Well, I break it down into basically four different stages.
Okay.
I know some people, when they talk about it, they put actual ages on there. I don't like to do that because I think every child matures differently.
Absolutely.
And so I break it down into little, young, older, and grown. And so let's talk about each of those. So when they're little, you just tell them. That's your job. When they're a year and a half old, you say, no, no, danger, no, we don't touch the stove, no.
Right.
That's all they need to know. I see a lot of parents make a big mistake when they have really tiny ones and they're trying to explain to them and help them to reason. Now, do you want to do this or do you want to do that? And when they're tiny, honestly, you're asking your child to do something that they cannot do. They
right.
can't reason like that. So cognitively, it's impossible, but parents are giving them these choices when they should not. When they're little, you tell. Now, when they're young, you teach. And this goes to what we've already talked about. Like the Bible is right and wrong. That's mm-hmm. our foundation of right and wrong. And you start teaching those scriptures about we want you to obey your parents because God says that he'll bless you. We don't touch the stove because it is hot. And
right.
here's another choice. Let's go play in here instead because this is mom's area. So you teach them. Then when they're older, basically teenage-ish mm-hmm. type age, then you start coaching them. And
okay.
I think it's really important because a lot of parents take their hands off when they become teenagers. Oh, he's 16. We're going to let him drive his car. He comes home. He goes to his room. He comes out. He gets food. He goes back to his room and shuts the door. Oh, he's just a teenager. Well, you're allowing that in your home.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it's a huge mistake. It is a huge mistake. I have taught parenting classes, and I've had parents of 13-year-olds say, oh, well, my job's already done. Huge mistake. So how do you parent? You don't do it like you did when they were little.
Right.
You don't do it like you did when they were young, but you coach them. Now you start asking more questions.
Yep.
Well, what do you think the right thing to do is? Well, why is that the right thing to do? Mm-hmm. Well, what if... Have you thought about this?
Right.
So you parent in a different way,
right.
But you still parent.
Yes.
It's so important.
You're still guiding them.
Absolutely. They're making huge decisions when they're in their teenage years. Where do I go to college? Do I get married? Do I move?
Right.
Huge decisions, life-changing decisions. And we as parents say, well, my job is done. No, your job just changes. And here's another thing I think it's really important to know, that sometimes you may be a great toddler parent, but you need to learn how to be a teenage parent.
Yes.
You know, or you may be the one who you're great with your teenagers, but man, this baby, I don't know what to do with it.
I'm the baby whisperer. When
yes.
they get a little bit older is when I probably have more difficulty.
Yeah. Well, and what you're going to find is just when you get it figured out, they're in the next stage.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know? So if you can stay a stage ahead of them, bless the Lord, that's the way to do it. It really is.
Absolutely.
And the fourth stage is when they're grown. And this is when you finally get to be their friend. You are not their friend when you are raising them. You are their
Absolutely.
Parent. And here's the thing. Somebody's going to parent your child.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I like to look at it like this. Your kids get to choose a myriad of friends. But God chose you to be their parent.
That's right. That's
Take
right.
that seriously.
Yeah.
Take that as a compliment from the Lord. He is entrusting you
right.
to do this, and he's not making you do it alone. What does the word say? There's always an answer in the word. What do I do? Pray, and he'll show you what to do. And be flexible, because it is ever evolving, because your child is growing. And enjoy the stage that you're in. I would encourage every mom and dad out there and grandparent, enjoy wherever your kids are,
right.
because if it's a hard stage, well, good news is it's not going to last, okay? I promise this too will pass, but you know what? You're never going to get it back, mm-hmm. and I remember thinking that when my kids were little, and wow, they're into a lot of stuff at two, but they're not terrible twos. Go back to our words. Don't ever say he's the terrible two. He's a tremendous two.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Speak what you want. If you
yes.
want a terrible two-year-old, call him that.
Right.
But if you want a tremendous, we loved this two-year-old stage because it was exciting and changing, and they were little sponges. So speak what you want.
That's good stuff.
Absolutely.
That's good stuff.
Well, again, we're all out of time.
Huh?
It's always that. The time just goes by so, so fast. But Deanna is going to be with us again next week, and you definitely don't want to miss next week either. So please come back and join us. We'll be talking some about discipline and how important discipline alone is, and how God in his word has given us how we are supposed to discipline correctly, because I know there's so many different ideas out there on what discipline looks like. But what does God say
yeah.
that discipline looks like? You don't want to miss next week, and we'll see you next time.